Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be for good pleasure in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may have rest from their labors, and their works follow with them. Some people have gotten the idea from passages like this that heaven is complete rest, a perpetual vacation, with nothing much that needs to be done. Their works follow with them, they take to mean, we get credit for our good works, so now we don't have to do any more work. But we can see that an eternity with nothing important or useful to do would be terrifying, horribly boring. How long could you stand to take a vacation, jetting to wonderful places, pursuing whatever pleasures you wanted, partying with friends, or quietly puttering around your house and garden, reading novels, having coffee with friends and chatting? Whatever you would enjoy, except putting in any effort to get something done, accomplishing anything helpful for anyone else, or taking any responsibility. Sometimes we might say, let me try that experiment and see how long I could take it. And that's because a lot of times our lives are out of balance the other way, taking ourselves too seriously, working too hard. Still, overall, we can see that a life of continual leisure with nothing useful to do would be hell rather than heaven. Let's take a look at what the Lord is teaching us in this passage. The book of Revelation has a lot of discussion of good and evil works. The Lord says to each of the seven churches, I know your works. At the end of the book, he says, my reward is with me, to give to everyone according as his work shall be. In the New Testament, the Lord emphasizes that it's not our works as they appear outwardly that matters, but as they are inside in our will and intentions. But good intentions must be fulfilled whenever possible, or they evaporate. Good intentions unfulfilled are like a head without a body. A person who has good will does good things. A person who doesn't do good things when he has the opportunity does not yet have good will, no matter what he may think or say. Regeneration begins with the life of good works. In the early stages and for a long time, we have to make ourselves not do things that are wrong and do what is right. If we do what is right, not just because we have to get along in this world, but also because the Lord calls us and commands us to, then gradually the Lord changes our hearts. We come to enjoy doing good things and to dislike doing harmful things. Good works that used to be a matter of self-discipline become a pleasure. For example, take getting down to work. When we have a big project in front of us, it can be hard to apply ourselves and get started. If we continually shirk the task and get away with it, eventually we will not even chide ourselves for it. We will think it is clever to get away with shoddy work or make someone else do it. But if we make ourselves get started and see it through to completion, we get stronger at tackling big jobs. Or take shouting at our children. Sometimes it may be necessary, but a lot of times it's just that we have lost control of ourselves. If we don't work on changing our behavior when we see that it is hurtful, eventually we accept shouting as normal, as something the kids deserve. But if we ask the Lord to help us flee from this evil as a sin against him and apologize to our children and our spouse when we have lost it again, and we work on strategies to avoid this behavior and replace it with better ways of discipline, then the Lord can gradually give us more and more control of our temper. This is not easy. We all have bad habits and character weaknesses, and they feel like an ingrained part of us, although actually they are stirred up by evil spirits around us. It hurts to fight with ourselves. We feel torn between two desires. We have to give up something that feels natural and comfortable, even though it may be causing us big problems. And on the other hand, when we know we've blown it again and done something stupid and wrong, we feel terrible, and we may feel like we are going to hell. This struggle is temptation. It is what the book of Revelation means by dying in the Lord. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. We read, those who have faith in the Lord and live according to his commandments undergo spiritual temptations while they are driving away the evil spirits who make one with their lusts. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Through the process of repentance, the Lord quietly strengthens our love of what is good, and our old lusts for being lazy, or for raging and storming around, or for dirty or deceitful things, and so on, gradually die away. That's when we have rest from our labors, the labors of temptation. Actually, evil spirits cause all stress and weariness. They are the ones that make work into a drudgery or fill it with tension, with fears for our reputation or financial worries, anger at co-workers, impatience, and all the rest of the emotions that make work hard instead of a joy. In the long run, we can come to a point where evil spirits no longer dare to infest us because they know we are being protected by the Lord. To that extent, our daily work will become truly enjoyable, simply a pleasure and a privilege. Work can be a great blessing, whether it's making a good home or volunteer work, such as caring for people in need, or in employment, the most common sense of the word work. The heavenly doctrine says that the soul of a good work is a love from the Lord. This soul or love forms a body for itself in the honest and just things a person does. In that way, the love becomes solid and lasting. In fact, our spiritual bodies are formed out of the things we do from love. Just as the natural mind and body mature through hard work and become capable of doing the useful things that need to be done, so our spiritual body is formed by the effort and intention of our higher mind, that is, our conscientious application of our energies to doing what is right and not what is wrong. If we turn our thoughts to what is honest and right and away from foolish thoughts, the Lord creates for us a beautiful spirit, keen-sighted to see what is true, willing and capable of helping others. If we do the opposite, our spiritual body becomes weak and ugly. The spiritual body is not simply a metaphorical way of speaking of our minds. After death, spirits and angels have complete human bodies, lacking nothing. But the spiritual body, unlike the natural body, perfectly represents our mind. True Christian religion teaches that the day-to-day continual exercise of doing our regular work honestly and faithfully, whether at home or in some employment, forms a person's body for heaven. We read, he who practices charity in this way, daily and continually, becomes more and more the embodiment of charity. For justice and faithfulness form his mind, and the practice of them forms his body, so that in the process of time, from the form of mind thus acquired, he wills and thinks nothing but what has relation to charity. A great part of the blessing of heaven is that our works follow with us. Everyone who in this life has allowed the Lord to plant in him the love of being useful and serving his neighbors carries that love with him into the life after death. In fact, The love of serving is the man himself, his or her most central quality. Everyone is born for no other purpose than to be of use to other people. We read, man is not born for himself, but for the sake of others. The Lord declares, creates us for eternal happiness, and happiness comes with being useful. After death, everyone without exception must perform some use. The difference between heaven and hell is that in hell, everyone tries to make the rest serve him, and no one is willing to be useful and helpful to others. Evil spirits, though they serve unwillingly, are still less miserable while serving their lowly uses than at other times. In our culture, we have confused ideas of usefulness. We tend to equate what is useful and valuable with the payment received. Hence, many people labor in jobs with little satisfaction. Workaholism, the feeling of being driven by pressures or the need to, in quotes, succeed, is too common. The elderly do not feel useful because they are no longer involved in lots of activities in the world of employment or in volunteer work, when yet their good influence on others and their use to those in the spiritual world as well as to us on earth may be very great, especially in reading and meditating on the Word. The heavenly doctrine shows that our daily work can be the greatest means of regeneration and the greatest opportunity to grow into the love of being of service to others. But use is not limited to paid occupations or to practical, tangible tasks. For example, children need lots of time with their parents. Giving that time is one of the most useful things we can do as parents, grandparents, aunts and uncles, and friends. Husbands and wives need to spend time discussing the uses of their home, the states of their children, and the state of their marriage. The slower, more reflective sphere of older people with a whole life's perspective on the workings of divine providence and more opportunity to read and reflect on the Word can be of tremendous use to their family and the community in which they live, as well as to societies in the spiritual world. We need to ask the Lord to guide us into the right balance of all our responsibilities and opportunities for use, including times for recreation. A key point is to remember that all good works are the Lord's. He is the vine, we are the branches. Good works are not ways for us to earn merit. The world will not stop if we don't perform a certain task. It is a miracle, a gift from the Lord, that we are able to do useful things at all, as if from ourselves. This gift shows how much the Lord loves us. The more we realize this, and the less we take credit for our works, the more the Lord can help us simply enjoy a useful life. The Lord wants to bless everyone, to help everyone with whatever we need. When we too aim to help others, we are filled with His Spirit, and He works in us and through us. We become His messengers, bringing His blessings to others. Then the Lord's love is satisfied. As much as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. In this sense, we can understand and apply the words of the book of Revelation, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may have rest from their labors, and their works follow with them. Amen. And now to the one only God, Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.